International Diplomatic Student Association is a Hungary-based organization for university students interested in political science, multilateral treaties, and intergovernmental relations. IDSAA podcast aims to educate listeners on career opportunities for university students in Hungary, opening their minds to current socio-political issues. The podcast is recorded with the support of EPPER Radio.
Hello everyone, and welcome to the next episode of the IDSAA podcast, an exclusive project launched by the International Diplomatic Student Association. My name is Simon Lee, and my co-host is Orgil Munkbatar.
Hello.
Today, we have the honor to talk with Ms. Orsoya Fakash, the Head of Program Support Unit of the International Organization for Migration. Ms. Fakash, thank you so much for making the time and agreeing to talk to us today.
Thank you for the invitation.
Well, all right, we can start off with the first question. Can you briefly introduce yourself to our audience?
Sure, thank you very much. My name is Orsoya Fakash, and I'm here to introduce the International Organization for Migration, or IOM in short. I coordinate the work of the Program Support Unit, or PSU, IOM Hungary, which is one of the three big units that we have in our office.
Thank you, Ms. Fakash. Can you please go into in-depth of what your responsibilities into IOM are and what you would do on a day-to-day basis and what your responsibilities would be?
Of course. Like the Program Support Unit, as I mentioned, is one of the three big units that we have in our office. And our unit actually provides a cross-cutting support to all the program teams that we have in our office who are implementing our projects and activities. And this cross-cutting support includes areas and responsibilities such as project development, reporting, internal communication, information and data management, monitoring and evaluation, partnership development, and even media and communication falls under the responsibilities of our unit.
Could you give us a short description for what the IOM does and stands for to the listeners who might not know what IOM is?
Of course, thanks for the question. IOM is the leading intergovernmental organization in the field of migration and works closely with governmental, intergovernmental, and also with non-governmental partners. It was established in 1951 and has been part of the UN system since 2016. As our mission, IOM is actually dedicated to promoting humane and orderly migration for the benefit of all. And it does so primarily by providing services and advice to both governments and migrants. Globally, the key activities and the main areas of programming that IOM does include migration policy and governance, emergency post-crisis and disaster risk reduction, migrant assistance, we're involved in labor migration, migration and development, immigration and border management, migration health, refugee resettlement, but also involved in migration law research, for example.
I think you just mentioned that you work closely with governmental and non-governmental organizations. We would have a question separately to that.
Okay, can go more into detail then.
Could you please give us I want to ask how the IOM Hungary fits into the context of global immigration?
Yes, as I mentioned, IOM is the leading intergovernmental organization in the field of migration, and we currently have 175 member states, and further 8 states hold observer status globally. We have about 600 or over 600 offices in more than 100 countries worldwide, which means that with such a global presence, IOM is well able to tailor its focus and activities to the regional and local contexts and needs in the field of migration in all of these countries. In Hungary, the two core areas that our office was engaged with prior to the 24th of February last year are counter-trafficking and assisted voluntary return and reintegration of third country nationals. Since February last year, however, as an immediate response to the arising needs, our focus and activities have, of course, significantly expanded, and we are more actively involved in supporting our beneficiaries arriving from Ukraine with a variety of services.
Okay, I think you just mentioned Ukraine there. Within the challenges that are apparent in both the Ukrainian war as well as the migrant crisis in Europe, how has the IOM coped with such circumstances to assist those in need?
Well, human mobility is inextricably related to instability and fragility, with crises becoming increasingly multifaceted and complex worldwide. in 2023, IOM, in fact, has over 40 crisis response plans globally, covering various parts of the world from Afghanistan through Ethiopia to Venezuela. Our office in Hungary is, of course, currently part of the Ukraine and neighboring countries' crisis response plan. And similarly to other missions in the region, our office has been offering a wide variety of support. And of course, this expansion of our activities and services require a significant growth of our capacities, both in terms of funding and manpower. In Hungary, this means actually a tenfold increase in the number of our staff since February last year to this day. While across the region, like across those countries who are actively involved in the Ukraine response plan, the number of people working for one of the IOM offices has grown from about 600 to over 1,600. So this huge and quite quick expansion of our organizational capacities are actually key when responding to a crisis.
Do you think that IOM Hungary in specific serves any sort of specific role within the wider Ukrainian war crisis?
Well, IOM Hungary is, in fact, one of the key actors when it comes to the overall response to the Ukrainian crisis in Hungary. As I mentioned, our portfolio was expanded by quite a lot of activities and services that we haven't had before. One of the major changes is that previously we only worked in Budapest, while since spring last year, we also have a mobile team who is present at the Hungarian-Ukrainian border area, providing information, protection services, and all sort of other assistance to those who are arriving from Ukraine, like newcomers, or also those who have arrived since February last year and are currently staying in that border area. Also in Budapest, our portfolio has expanded by a shelter service. So IOM is actually one of the biggest, if not the biggest, provider of accommodation to conflict-affected people arriving from Ukraine. We also have an information provision team who provides much-needed assistance and information, also legal information to those who need it. We do so over the phone, and we also have two information points, one at the Nyugati railway station and one close to the city center in Budapest in Bárci Street within the framework of the Budapest Helps Community Center. Besides, we are also involved in the distribution of non-food items. We assist those third country nationals who want to return to their home countries and have also crossed from Ukraine because they resided there before the crisis started. Another thing I want to mention is that we reinstalled our Displacement Tracking Matrix program, or DTM in short, which is actually an IOM flagship program. And the aim is to collect and analyze data regarding the migration flows and migration trends. So this is something that's also very important to IOM to actually understand what's happening.
Yeah, that's absolutely important to address to the listeners. You already mentioned that you work with both governmental and non-governmental organizations. Does it also include the Hungarian government, shall I say?
Yes, indeed. IOM is working closely with governmental partners globally all around the world. Being a UN family member, it is key that we work closely with governmental stakeholders. Also, we're working with other UN agencies very closely, such as WHO, UNICEF, or UNHCR, for example, with whom, for example, we are both involved in the running of the Budapest Helps Community Center that I already mentioned briefly. And we're also working with non-governmental organizations and NGOs who can be both consortium partners or implementing partners of IOM, depending on the context. And one more actor I would like to mention here is that we also have frequent cooperation with the academia, such as universities, for example, when it comes to various research projects or delivering lectures on the UN and IOM in particular at these universities, or even for the recruitment of colleagues for internships. We rely on the help of universities.
That's really good to know. I mean, perhaps in the future, ISA and the IOM can have some partnership in certain events. We will send that out to information to you later.
Another issue I wanted to ask from a representative of the IOM is about human trafficking. Human trafficking is obviously a very major concern for many migrants and refugees. So I wanted to ask, what sort of role does IOM play in combating this issue? And what sort of responses does it have to prevent this sort of issue, make sure it doesn't happen within the future?
Of course, IOM Hungary has been working on the field of counter-trafficking for many years now, often in close partnership with both governmental and non-governmental actors. Most recently, our work in counter-trafficking was focused around two approaches. On the one hand, within the framework of a project supported by the Hungarian Ministry of Interior, IOM supported Hungarian victims of trafficking who had been identified abroad, and our office supported them with their return to Hungary, and well as their reintegration into their own communities in case it was safe, or into a different community in Hungary if it wasn't safe for them to return to their exact places of origin. Meanwhile, our colleagues are also involved in supporting the Hungarian referral and victim support procedure. And it's also important that we facilitate international professional exchanges in this field. On the other hand, within the framework of another project, similarly with the support of the MOI, IOM Hungary aimed to raise awareness about this very issue of human trafficking among the most vulnerable groups and populations, as well as the general public in the country. And this included a media campaign around this topic, as well as a series of awareness-raising workshops for those children and youth who are most at risk of human trafficking. These workshops were delivered at various schools, for example, for both the students and the teachers, but also in children's homes, where IOM also delivered thematic drama pedagogy sessions, for example, along these themes.
Another universal challenge, same can be said about human trafficking, is climate change, which is increasingly recognized as a driver of migration, particularly in vulnerable regions such as sub-Saharan Africa and the Pacific Islands. How does the IOM approach this issue, and what role does the organization play in advocating for policies that address climate-related migration?
IOM, as the leading intergovernmental migration agency, has actually been at the forefront of efforts, both operational research, policy, and advocacy efforts that seek to bring environmental migration to the heart of concerns, both at an international, regional, and national levels, in collaboration with its member states, observers, and other partners. At the beginning of 2015, a dedicated migration, environment, and climate change division was created within IOM to address the migration, environmental, and climate nexus. And this institutional change formalized IOM's engagement in this thematic area, and it actually made IOM the first international organization that has established an institutional unit fully devoted to this very topic. IOM's vision on migration, environment, and climate change is that contemporary migration governance, policy, and also practice must reflect the significance of environmental disaster and climate change factors on human mobility. Environmental factors must be integrated across all areas of migration management, such as prevention, preparedness, response to displacement, border management, labor migration, integration, but also return and reintegration are important areas to mention here. IOM's main objectives concerning migration, environment, and climate change are to prevent forced migration that result from environmental factors to the extent possible. Also to provide assistance and protection to affected populations when they are forced to migrate because of environmental or climate change factors, and also to seek durable solutions to their situation. And we feel it's also very important to facilitate migration in the context of climate change adaptation and enhance the resilience of the affected communities.
Of course, this is a very important issue for the coming decade. You had also mentioned reintegration into the communities that migrants may be returning to. Can you tell us more about how IOM works to promote social cohesion and support in the integration of migrants into their new communities?
Of course, IOM views integration as an essential component of effective and comprehensive migration management to promote social inclusion and good relation across diverse groups, let's say, and thereby contributing towards diverse yet inclusive and cohesive societies. Integration is, in fact, a highly contextual issue and varies a lot across countries. Still, generally speaking, IOM recognizes that successful integration is a dynamic and multidirectional process that involves mutual adaptation of migrants and of the host society as well. And it is based on principles such as protection of fundamental rights, respect, tolerance, and also non-discrimination is an important one to mention here, I believe. It is definitely a multidimensional issue that covers migrants' inclusion in many perspectives, including economic, psychological, social, linguistic, and civic perspectives, as well as it's important to include the empowering of host communities and other local actors to receive and engage with the migrants who arrive to those communities. In this local context, in Hungary, and in the context of the response to the Ukraine crisis, the facilitation of socioeconomic inclusion, assistance, and access to services for conflict-affected populations is actually part of our country strategy, along with fostering social cohesion amongst displaced populations and host communities. And this means that IOM aims to facilitate this building of bridges among communities and is also working on ensuring access to the labor market and services such as healthcare or education.
I would say that the matter of migration can be highly politicized and controversial. So within these many conflicting perspectives and interests in play, how does the IOM navigate these complexities and work to promote dialogue and cooperation among different stakeholders?
Well, thank you for this question. Migration is indeed a hot topic nowadays, let's say. And we feel that it's also because migration is a global phenomenon that affects all countries around the world. And many people, many actors, many stakeholders talk about it, discuss about it. And consequently, of course, there are many perspectives and perceptions that are out there about migration. And this is also one of the main reasons why we as IOM find it very important to work closely and to have dialogues with many different actors and stakeholders on this field. And it is also the very reason why IOM as an intergovernmental organization was established in the first place, to bring together and recognize the interests of both various governments and the migrants themselves. And since there is no country around the world that is not affected by migration in some way or another, IOM definitely has a role to play and can provide support and assistance in every human mobility context. We as IOM find it highly important to encourage a more balanced dialogue of migration that places migrants as human beings into the center of the discussions and focuses on their rights and their well-beings. And these dialogues should also take into consideration, of course, that migrants are an extremely diverse group of people who are on the move for a wide variety of reasons. Therefore, it's very hard to bring all migrants under one dialogue or under one discussion. We feel, for example, that it is important that those who were forced to leave their places of origin, they represent a more vulnerable group and should, for example, benefit from special measures.
Finally, another cause for migration, which many of our listeners may have overlooked, is economic reasons relating to development and poverty. So I wanted to ask you, how does IOM address these sorts of root causes for migration and support sustainable development within countries of origin for many migrants and refugees?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you for this question. Thank you for bringing it up. First of all, I feel that it's important to highlight that in IOM's view, migration is definitely not a problem to be solved, but a social phenomenon that is caused by a broad variety of reasons, including, for example, in the search for better economic and educational opportunities, as you also mentioned, the desire for family reunification, climate change or disasters, as we have talked about it, or even conflict. As both IOM and the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development recognize, migration, in fact, has the potential to be a powerful driver of sustainable development, both for migrants and their communities. As such, migration can be an effective poverty reduction tool for migrants and their families and can make significant contributions into development efforts in both countries of origin as well as in the countries of destination. It can bring, for example, significant benefits in the form of skills, strengthening the labor force, investment, cultural diversity, and many more. However, it is also true that migration that is not safe, not orderly, and not regular may result in problems that the world has very well seen unfold in recent years. And indeed, if migration is poorly governed, it can also negatively impact development, and migrants can be put at risk and communities can come under strain. Therefore, IOM strongly encourages an approach to migration governance that strives to ensure that migration and migrants' needs are considered across all policy areas, laws, and also regulations, from health to education, from fiscal policies to trade, for example. And this approach also includes that countries should approach migration from a more holistic point of view, which seeks to take advantage of its potential to boost countries' economy, while also addressing the risk of those processes and causes that drive people out of their countries. And it's actually IOM's institutional strategy to comprehensively integrate migration and development into policymaking and programming within the organization, for the reason that migration, when it's well managed, can be both a development strategy and a development outcome as well.
All right, I think we can wrap up the regional challenges of the IOM. But what do you think are the most rewarding and challenging aspects of working for the IOM?
For me personally, the most rewarding aspect of working for IOM is working with a very international team of highly dedicated and professional colleagues who are equally very passionate about serving our beneficiaries. And it's true for our office in Hungary, but also for IOM globally. What I can think of as a challenge is probably meeting and working with beneficiaries who are sometimes in highly vulnerable positions and situations, and similarly having to experience and working in crisis and emergency settings firsthand and seeing these situations firsthand can indeed sometimes be quite challenging.
I'm sure many of our listeners, after hearing about all this information about IOM, may be interested in any sort of career opportunities and engagement within its activity. So do you have any sort of these opportunities for our many Hungarian and international listeners?
Of course. IOM is, in fact, always looking for dedicated and qualified colleagues to join our international team, both in Hungary and globally. In one of our more than 600 offices, IOM has worldwide, as I mentioned. So there are opportunities locally and also as part of an international career within the UN and within IOM more specifically. And I would like to mention that we also tend to recruit interns to support our activities, which might be of interest for any students who are listening to our conversations.
Yeah. So before concluding this interview, do you have anything to say to our audience, which is dominantly young generations?
Thank you. Yeah, I just would like to mention that besides having a website, of course, when people can find more information about migration issues in general and also about IOM, both globally and in Hungary, we are also present in LinkedIn and on Facebook, where we regularly communicate about our activities and programs or anything that's new. And we also tend to publish any vacancies that we have, including potential internship opportunities on the social media side. So for those who are interested, you can just look for IOM there and give us a like.
Yeah, I suppose our listener would be really appreciate that.
Ms. Farkas, thank you very much for taking the time out of your day today and elaborating on the insights and challenges of IOM. Dear listeners, we arrived at the end of this week's podcast, where we had the pleasure to discuss the aspects and opportunities in working for IOM, while also exploring the circumstances surrounding the regional challenges it faces today. My name is Orgil, and with my co-host Simon Lee, today we had the great opportunity to interview Ms. Farkas, the head of Programming Support Unit of the International Organization for Migration. Thank you for being with us today, and stay tuned for upcoming episodes.
International Diplomatic Student Association is a Hungary-based organization for university students interested in political science, multilateral treaties, and intergovernmental relations. IDSIA podcast aims to educate listeners on career opportunities for university students in Hungary, opening their minds to current socio-political issues. The podcast is recorded with the support of EPER Radio.